First thing that I'd do is I'd come off like I ever gave a damn about you. I'd let you catch a peek of all your greatest desires, then I'd watch the flames in your eyes burn like hellfire. Find all the wolves in the land, and I'd make them fight each other tooth and nail and hand to hand. Find all the sheep, make them stir up the pot, 'cause once the wolves have killed each other, sheep are what I want. The devil walks among us, friends, I know this is true, and I don't know if he's red, and I don't know if he's blue. One thing that I know, need to take a look around. If I were the devil, this world wouldn't be my playground. As I place that thorny crown on my furrowed brow, well, I'd shine in all the tears of joy yelling from the crowd. I want to brainwash my parents, and I have the world. I'll be in every schoolhouse lecturing little boys and girls. The devil walks among us, friends, I know this is true, and I don't know if it's me, and I don't know if it's you. One thing that I know, need to take a look around. If I were the devil, this world wouldn't be my playground.
Good morning.
My final act.
Welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, November 14th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. And talk about that a little bit today. There's some strange stuff going on YouTube. Got a lot of kind of, I don't know, maybe non-secular kind of stuff that I will share. What's his name? The gentleman who does the news for the Maui Alert YouTube channel. I noticed yesterday something very peculiar happened watching one of their videos. There is a video titled, I guess you won't see this now, the damage is done. Very, very strange. I have a screenshot. Maybe I'll post this at some point. The video is titled Maui Shark Knocks Surfer Off Board. The Maui Alert YouTube channel. And I have screenshots. I was watching this. And is this the one? Yeah. So, you know what? I'll share these. Let me see. Can I do this? I don't think so. I'll share them with you, Miss Bordop, and you can see what I'm talking about. Oh, awesome. That would have been fantastic. Can we do so? Hour two. Yes. Okay. We got back channel stuff going on, so multitasking is bad for radio. All right, so check these out. I should post these somewhere at some point. Screenshots. Those are screenshots they took. You will notice they're screenshots from my phone. And so the time on the phone, if you look in the top left corner, is 9:42 on the first screenshot, 9:44 on the second screenshot. Only 14% battery life. I probably should plug that device in. But notice the likes, views, 186 views. And today, two more views, 188. So that's about the same. Likes are the same today. But at 9:42, 5,200 and something likes versus 2 minutes later, 11. I guess, you know, on the first screenshot, 5,000 people had liked something they hadn't even seen yet. And then and within the next 2 minutes, they all decided, nah, I don't like that so much. So that's strange. And I wrote that deal. Speaking of funny business with view counts and like counts, so many people. So the reason why I screenshotted that and I wanted to share it with the Maui Alerts folks, their channel, was because I thought it was really interesting to begin with that a view or a video that only had 186 views had somehow had 5,200 likes. And they've done some interesting stuff throughout the Maui fires. Their view counts on all of their videos are extremely low. And so, you know, I think that's kind of a badge of honor. You know, Jacob Peterson was on this broadcast last Friday. As I said yesterday, I really appreciate it when he's on. I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. And that's basically what I said to him. You know, it's a badge of honor, I think, that it seems like somebody's trying to make sure that lots of people don't see his content. I wonder why. Same with Maui Alerts. I mean, the stuff that has gone on in Lahaina, you know, since August, maybe before, obviously comes to mind. So, stuff is important. So, seeing this video that has 186 views and 5,200 likes was peculiar. I thought I'd send that screenshot, and then went back to YouTube, and the video suddenly had only 11 likes. So it reminds me of all of the times that people have said something funny's going on with stuff on YouTube, and it also reminds me of that post that I made back in January 23rd, 2021, titled, "Do You See What I See?" And that was concerning the overwhelming number of dislikes on every White House video after the Biden administration came into office. Press briefing by Press Secretary Jen Psaki. And since then, you know, they've done all kinds of things to fiddle with stuff. And now the likes are entirely, or the dislikes are entirely suppressed. But I took several screenshots of those kinds of things. The videos that had the dislikes were greater than the likes by orders of magnitude. You know, for example, 7,100 versus 34,000 dislikes on this first video. And it was on all of them. Second video, 4,300 likes, 24,000 dislikes. It's not even close. Next video, 7,100 likes, 34,000 dislikes. And on it goes. Several times greater in every case. you know, this was a new, no, 21,000 views, 367 likes, 2,400 dislikes. Very interesting. So, you know, it is true. It's a fact that YouTube monkeys with stuff. Not sure what happened, but something happened. That's just sort of an anecdotal observation. And then, you know, I noticed another one. Let me just share this one as well for posterity's sake. This is a Jeff Cooper video. So you can do this over here and go. And you can't see this on the radio, but Miss Bordop, you can see what I'm talking about. And views versus like counts. Explain, riddle me this, Batman. Whoops, that didn't work. Jeff Cooper, Make Pistol Ready video, 16,000 views. Now it has 385 likes. But when I looked at it, last night, there's a screenshot that says 58,000 likes with only 16,000 views. How is that possible? 16,000 views, 58,000 likes. So 42,000 people decided that they liked it before they watched it, and then all of a sudden between, you know, last night and this morning, they changed their minds. Pretty crazy. So these are just anecdotal observations, obviously, but something funny's going on. Let me take a screenshot of this while I can. Maybe on a larger device here. No, that's not going to do it. I don't know if other people notice this kind of stuff, but I always think it's odd. Okay. Is that going to work? Let me see. Yeah, I think so. So, yeah. So there's the same 16,000 views. Should have expanded that. And only 385 likes the next day. What's going on? It's, you know, again, it's just an anecdotal observation. I don't know if anybody else has been noticing this, but the reason I think this is so important is because it's what do you call it? I want to say the Mandrake mechanism. It's something like that, but that's not it. Basically, this is presumed to convey some kind of legitimacy and authority. It was a thing originally, you know, according to The Social Network, the movie, you know, the conversation was, we don't ever want to let Facebook go offline because, you know, that's what gives it an air of legitimacy, at least initially. So can't let things go offline. Maybe I'll make a post on this stuff because I think it's important. But that's two videos. And obviously, you know, this is a particular kind of content. Challenging an establishment narrative. The usual intro is Andrew Breitbart from the Hating Breitbart documentary, and the intro from that documentary. And it's more than just what he's saying. You know, it's keeping the memory of Andrew Breitbart alive and what he was fighting for. You know, he wrote the book Righteous Indignation, Excuse Me While I Save the World. I think he was really on a mission, and I think he was, you know, I think that he probably thought in his research that he had hit rock bottom only to maybe have that false bottom fall out and fall much further and realize, holy cow, you know, we hadn't even come close to hitting pay dirt yet. I don't know. That's just my suspicion. And I think there's a reason that so many people around him, you know, if you go back and listen to his 2012 CPAC speech, he says, you know, he got to sit down with Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, compliments of who? Tucker Carlson. Thank you, Tucker. Who's still around and wildly popular these days? And who's not still around? Mentioned David Horowitz yesterday. Same kind of thing. You know, Steve Bannon. So many of those folks are still around. And Andrew Breitbart is not. So I find that very curious. And he was challenging, pushing in some places that some very powerful, influential forces didn't want pushed, I think. Recently, somehow, Steven Crowder managed to get his hands on the Nashville shooter's manifesto. And has sort of discussed it. And from what I understand, basically he's saying, oh, this is pretty big news. Not all of it, portion of it, is my understanding. And, you know, the reason that it was suppressed is because it doesn't fit the narrative. As Steven Crowder was even saying, this individual, Audrey Hale, was gobbling up the establishment narrative that's being fed to children these days. And so any attempt to try to say, look, this young person followed the instructions, so to speak, to the letter, to the T, and therefore, you know, that's why this is not supposed to get out. And like Steven Crowder was saying, basically, you know, this is actually textbook gaslighting, because this person is following this narrative and doing everything that young people are being advocated to do, and hating the people they're being advocated to hate, and including self-loathing in many cases, which is very weird. You know, hating themselves for things that they have no control over. It's very bizarre. So here's a perfect example of that, but we can't talk about it. We can't talk about why or what happened, and somehow trying to get to the bottom of what's going on here is insensitive to the families. We always hear that, you know, people who want to get to the bottom of it. Oh, you know, how dare you disrespect the families involved? Not disrespecting anyone, just trying to get to the bottom of stuff. And it's ironic that the veil is never pierced and no one ever asks. Strategy of tension, perhaps? Among other factors, cultural Marxism meets strategy of tension and Manchurian patsies. We never hear You hear about that on CNN. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis. Gold, a valuable thing to store. The power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special.
So we don't hear about that. We don't hear, you know, why do you suppose the innocent are targeted? Don't we hear that, you know, ISIS and all of these, you know, Al-Qaeda, these groups fashioned in the fashion of Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, which is interesting, isn't it? Operation Cyclone. Brzezinski said, nah, it was a great idea. Why are these groups always allegedly attacking innocent people far removed from politics? or anything prickly. It's always what you call a soft target. It's never a hard target. Never anything prickly. Why is that? Because, like Brian Michael Jenkins said, terrorism is theater. And we're watching terrorism as theater. And who is the intended audience but the viewers? People don't talk about that. Anyway, Trevor Aronson said it best, how this FBI strategy is actually creating U.S.-based terrorists. Can we play just a couple of minutes of that, please?
The FBI is responsible for more terrorism plots in the United States than any other organization. More than Al-Qaeda, more than Al-Shabaab, more than the Islamic State, more than all of them combined. This isn't likely how you think about the FBI. You probably think of FBI agents gunning down bad guys like John Dillinger or arresting corrupt politicians. After the 9/11 terrorist attacks, the FBI became less concerned with gangsters and crooked elected officials. The new target became terrorists, and the pursuit of terrorists has consumed the FBI. Every year, the Bureau spends $3.3 billion on domestic counterterrorism activities. Compare that to just $2.6 billion combined for organized crime, financial fraud, public corruption, and all other types of traditional criminal activity. I've spent years poring through the case files of terrorism prosecutions in the United States, and I've come to the conclusion that the FBI is much better at creating terrorists than it is at catching terrorists. In the 14 years since 9/11, you can count about 6 real terrorist attacks in the United States. These include the Boston Marathon bombings in 2013, as well as failed attacks, such as the time a man named Faisal Shahzad tried to deliver a car bomb to Times Square. In those same 14 years, the Bureau, however, has bragged about how it's foiled dozens of terrorism plots. In all, the FBI has arrested more than 175 people in aggressive undercover counterterrorism stings. These operations, which are usually led by an informant, provide the means and opportunity, and sometimes even the idea, for mentally ill and economically desperate people to become what we now term terrorists. After 9/11, the FBI was given an edict. Never again. Never another attack on American soil. FBI agents were told to find terrorists before they strike. To do this, agents recruited a network of more than 15,000 informants nationwide, all looking for anyone who might be dangerous. An informant can earn $100,000 or more for every terrorism case they bring to the FBI. That's right, the FBI is paying mostly criminals and con men 6 figures to spy on communities in the United States, but mostly Muslim American communities. These informants nab people like Abu Khalid Abdul Latif and Wali Mujahid. Both are mentally ill. Abdul Latif had a history of huffing gasoline and attempting suicide. Mujahid had schizoaffective disorder. He had trouble distinguishing between reality and fantasy. In 2012, the FBI arrested these 2 men for conspiring to attack a military recruiting station outside Seattle with weapons provided, of course, by the FBI. The FBI's informant was Robert Childs, a convicted rapist and child molester who was paid $90,000 for his work on the case. This isn't an outlier. In 2009, an FBI informant who had fled Pakistan on murder charges led 4 men in a plot to bomb synagogues in the Bronx. The lead defendant was James Cromedy, a broke Walmart employee with a history of mental problems, and the informant had offered him $250,000 if he participated in that plot.
Yeah.
There are many more examples.
We're heading into a break. We should pause it. Maybe we can play the rest of it. Anyway, does this ever get discussed? Was the FBI in contact with, you know, Audrey, Aiden, Elizabeth Hale, or what the heck ever, you know? Probably. Who always leads the mop-up operation? You know, who has the manifesto? Who has all the guns that they probably, you know, in some cases gave to these people anyway? FBI seizes more guns from suspect residents. Who has the manifesto? Why isn't it being published? Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say. The dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Seen the three pages, but you know, if you wanted to make a movie out of this stuff, you would, you know, those would be the pages that you would include but not too many more, as Fox News reported. Let's see. Nashville council member. Well, this is the story was titled Tennessee Officials Say FBI Stalling Release of Nashville Shooter Audrey Hale Manifesto. This was back in April 20, 2023, by Luis Cassiano. Anyway, toward the end of the article, it says Nashville council member Courtney Johnson told the Post the FBI has already ruled the manifesto would not be released in its entirety. Quote, what I was told is her manifesto was a blueprint on total destruction. We're just fiddling with reality. This was not a her. Anyway, her manifesto was a blueprint on total destruction, and it was so detailed at the level of what she had planned. She, Courtney Johnson, Nashville council member, said when reached by phone, the level of what had been planned. That document in the wrong person's hands would be astronomically dangerous. I think what that means actually is that the whole narrative would come unraveled. The whole country, indeed the whole world, would see exactly what Trevor Aronson talked about. In fact, can we just play the rest, like the first 5 minutes when he finishes his talk, and then probably the first question that's asked, you know, you're saying all this crazy stuff. How, you know, can you prove it? And Trevor basically says, I'm glad you asked. Can we play a little bit more of that, please? By chance. Or is that already gone? Do we get rid of it? Yes, ma'am. Can we play where we left off from there? Okay, perfect. Thank you.
History of mental problems. And the informant had offered him $250,000 if he participated in that plot. There are many more examples. Today, The Intercept published my new story about a counterterrorism sting in Tampa involving Sammy Osmakosh, a young man who was living near Tampa, Florida. Osmakosh also had schizoaffective disorder. He too was broke, and he had no connections to international terrorist groups. Nonetheless, an FBI informant gave him a job, handed him money, introduced him to an undercover agent posing as a terrorist, and lured him in a plot to bomb an Irish bar. But here's what's interesting. The lead undercover agent, you can see him in this picture with his face blurred, would go back to the Tampa field office with his recording equipment on. Behind closed doors, FBI agents admitted that what they were doing was farcical. A federal judge doesn't want you to hear about these conversations. He sealed the transcripts and placed them under a protective order in an attempt to prevent someone like me from doing something like this. Behind closed doors, the lead agent, the squad supervisor, described their would-be terrorist as a retarded fool who didn't have a pot to piss in. They described his terrorist ambitions as wishy-washy and a pipe dream scenario. But that didn't stop the FBI. They provided Sammy Osmakosh everything he needed. They gave him a car bomb. They gave him an AK-47. They helped him make a so-called martyrdom video. And they even gave him money for a taxi cab so he could get to where they wanted him to go. As they were working the sting, the squad supervisor tells his agents he wanted a Hollywood ending. And he got a Hollywood ending. When Sammy Osmakosh attempted to deliver what he thought was a car bomb, he was arrested, convicted, and sentenced to 40 years in prison. Sammy Osmakosh isn't alone. He's one of more than 175 so-called terrorists for whom the FBI has created Hollywood endings. U.S. government officials call this the war on terror. It's really just theater, a national security theater, with mentally ill men like Sammy Osmakosh, unwitting actors in a carefully choreographed production brought to you by the FBI. Thank you.
So those are some pretty strong accusations, pretty strong charges. How can you back this up?
So my research began in 2010 when I received a grant from the Investigative Reporting Program at UC Berkeley, and a research assistant and I put together a database of all terrorism prosecutions at the time during the first decade after 9/11, and we used the court file to find out whether the defendants had any connections to international terrorist groups, whether an informant was used, and whether the informant played the role of an agent provocateur by providing the means and opportunity. And we submitted that to the FBI, and we asked them to, you know, respond to our database. If they had errors, if they believe there were any errors, we asked them to tell us what they were, and we go back and check, and they never challenged any of our findings. Later, I used that data in a magazine article and later my book, and on appearances with places like CBS and NPR, they were offered that opportunity again to say, you know, Trevor Aronson's findings are wrong, and they've never come forward and said these are the problems with those findings. So the data, you know, is since been used by groups like Human Rights Watch on its recent report on these types of sting operations, and so far the FBI has never really responded that you know, to the charges that it's really not catching terrorists so much as it's catching mentally ill people that it can dress up as terrorists in these types of sting operations.
Okay, so
The Intercept.
So. I mean, do we really have to look very far to see that maybe somebody dressed up a mentally ill person in the Nashville situation as a terrorist? Is it really that difficult to imagine? This is, again, based on research, and we keep forgetting these things, like Trevor Aronson's article, The Sting, How the FBI Created a Terrorist, about Sammy Osmakosh, and they... you know, provided everything, the sound stage, the video making, and all of that to help Sammy Osmakosh make his martyrdom video. And it's you know, usually what we hear about is the Gladio B stuff, that kind of stuff. You know, New York Times, David Shipler's article back in 2012, terrorist plots hatched by the FBI, talk about a lot of this stuff. The Pioneer Square stuff with Muhammad, where, you know, same thing. You know, he shows up. They gave him a van filled with, you know, what he thought were explosives and a detonator, he thought, and basically a ride to the place. You know, hey, man, we'll set you up. And when he pushes a button, oops, no go, boom. And he goes to prison. I mean, that's a frame up job. So there's, you know, there have been major articles written about this, terrorist plots hatched by the FBI. That's a New York Times article, 2012. But who's heard of this stuff? We forget. You know, goldfish attention span. I usually mention Project Salaam's excellent write-up on this, Inventing Terrorists, The Lawfare of Preemptive Prosecution, in which they say that their study proves that, you know, based on the research that Trevor Aronson brought to light, overall 94.2% of all terrorism-related convictions on the DOJ list have been either preemptive prosecution cases or cases that involved elements of preemptive prosecution. And it's this kind of stuff where it's just frame-up jobs entirely. Human Rights Watch also did their write-ups on it, same stuff. Illusion of Justice back in 2014. And the same day, U.S. terrorism prosecutions often an illusion. Investigations, trials of American Muslims rife with abuse. It's lawfare. And, you know, there's the video that they did on the subject. FBI entraps Americans in terrorist sting operations. That's a good one, too. And they did a follow-up in 2017, National Security Agency databases open for business. And that's an interesting follow-on. And then there's the other stuff that sort of companion stuff. Every, you know, all of the stuff around us these days is sort of spying on us. What was the video that I think sort of corresponds to that I saw? There are many, obviously, but most recently I talked about, you know, the Nissan stuff and how all of the auto manufacturers are spying on people's devices and things in very unsavory, unscrupulous sorts of ways. And where is that? Now there's, you know, people are starting to notice a little bit, maybe. And then there's the AI deal. Where's that too? Yeah, your car is spying on you legally. That's it. Steve Leto. His deal. That's interesting. And along with that, there's the AI thing. That was a crazy article. What the heck is that product called? A wearable. And I can't help but think of Scott Klosowski's words. We're going to move from mobile to wearables to implantables. There it is. Humane officially launches the AI pin. It's open AI-powered wearable. It's a gadget designed for interacting with large language models, not apps, and for talking instead of typing, but it's not yet entirely clear what you're supposed to use it for. That's literally what the Verge article says by David Pierce. On Thursday, after months of demos and hints about what the AI-powered future of gadgets might look like, Humane finally took the wraps off its first device, the AI pin. The device, as we revealed yesterday, is $699 wearable in two parts, a square device and a battery pack. Magnetically attaches to your clothes on surfaces. In addition to that price, there's also a $24 monthly fee, of course, for a Humane subscription. Does it sound creepy? Yeah. Which gets you a phone number and a data coverage through T-Mobile's network. The company told Wired that the device will start shipping in early 2024 and that pre-orders begin November 16th. The AI pin is powered by a Snapdragon processor, though it's not clear which one, et cetera, et cetera. There's video stuff. It's super creepy, I think. The pin's primary job is to connect to AI models through software the company calls AI Mic. Humane's press release mentions both Microsoft and OpenAI, and previous reports suggested that the pin was primarily powered by GPT-4. Humane says that ChatGPT access is actually one of the device's core features. Its operating system called Cosmos. Remember when Jordy Rose talked about Cosmosism in that creepy, super intelligent aliens are coming to Earth presentation? The Tech Vancouver talk that he gave back in 2017. It's called Cosmosism. Is that right? So, the essence of cosmicism is cosmic indifference. So, what Lovecraft was talking about, what Lovecraft was talking about was demons, the same thing that Alice Bailey was writing about in The Externalization of the Hierarchy, Initiation in Human and Solar, stuff like that. But she wasn't really writing it because it was a received work. Anyway. Its operating system, called Cosmos, is designed to route your queries to the right tools automatically rather than asking you to download and manage apps. I have a post somewhere, speaking of the, you know, people's view of things, and this is anecdotal, but, you know, just observing in books that I've read over the years, technology books and things, you know, people dedicating their book to the great architect of the universe. Stuff like that. What does that mean? The Gautu, really? Is this a Masonic book? What is it? So that's always interesting. And when you look at the naming conventions for a lot of this technology stuff, that's also very interesting. Maybe I'll grab a couple of those examples in the next segment, just, you know, for continuity and posterity's sake, lest someone think that I'm making it up. You don't spend time in those circles and you don't think that, well, you know, maybe it's not that big a deal. But the more that you look at these startups and things, the more hardcore and virulent it seems the strain of intent becomes, particularly illustrated by naming conventions. which is interesting. Is it this one? Angels of Light? No, not that one. It's one of the articles that's not finished. Yeah, I think it's that one. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we're headed into a break. I'll give you some examples when we come back. Some names. Of the technology that corresponds to the God of the interwebs. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Thank you.
come back. Let's see. Is that right? Whoops. So, that should be right. Very strange. Some examples. I don't know why that's not propagating. Examples of what I'm talking about. Yahoo's, you know, you look at some of the, you have to look at the imagery on these things. Sphinx over on GitLab, Sphinx documentation. That's an interesting triangle type deal with the Eye of Horus there depicted. Other things, you know, the circle, the monad, the triangle, all that. There's a cube and all kinds of technology these days. The cube, which represents, you know, it's the Deus Ex Machina conversation. Basically, who's in charge? Who's the god of the machine being you and I? Next.js conference had their Next.js 13 and TurboPack keynote deal where they're introducing Next.js 13 and TurboPack, and the imagery that you see, you know, in the introduction there is, not to mention the rest of the keynote address, you know, the Kabbalistic Ein Sof, Gnostic Demiurge, you know, and tetrahedron imagery, all that kind of stuff. Drupal Commerce's Centauro, the Drupal Devel project, or is it Devil? All of the naming conventions centering around Norse and Greek mythology. Why is that? The Evil Martians project, Cube, Headless, BI for building data applications. Cube. That's what it's called. Cube.dev. That's interesting. Post-CSS is interesting looking. What the heck is that? You know, really? Tell me that's not esoteric symbolism. Post-CSS.org. Like I said, Next.js, Prometheus.io. TurboPack, the successor to Webpack, very esoteric. On and on the list goes. You're not seeing these, but if you look at them, very strange, very esoteric. It's not something you or I would ever imagine as a logo for things. So what does that mean? And why the naming conventions? Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after the short break.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.